was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. After Jesus goes to pray, he comes back to Peter, James, and John and finds them asleep. He tells Peter in verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Then he went away again the second time to pray, only to come back to find them sleeping again. And this time Jesus lets them sleep while he continues to pray. Are we like the disciples today? Are we willing to do God's work, but we keep falling asleep spiritually? As Christians, we have an adversary, the devil, who is doing all he can to get us to fall asleep in our daily walk with God. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil knows that our flesh is weak. So does God. That is why Jesus said in verse 41 of our text, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." We need to watch. Watch means to guard, to be attentive, to look with attention. We need to pay attention and pray for awareness and strength against our adversary, the devil. Every day we are tempted by the devil. Every day he seeks to devour us. A man had just decided that he was going to go on a diet. And that morning he prayed to God and said, "I promise I won't get a donut unless there's a parking place right in front." So the man got in his car and drove to the donut shop and parked in front. Then he said, "Well, God, I guess you wanted me to have one after all. It only took 8 times around the block." As Christians, we need to watch out for temptation and stay away from them, whether it's through TV or our phones or a computer or that place you know you shouldn't go. We need to watch, to be on guard so we can resist the devil. We don't do this alone. We can't do this alone. God said to watch and pray. We need to pray and have that everyday personal walk with God for us to be ready when the devil comes our way. So today, are we spiritually awake? Are we watching and praying? Or are we comfy, laid-back Christians? When Jesus comes again, what will he see? Will he find us asleep? Thank you.
And preach what the Lord gave you. Is it on?
Mm-hmm. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, please. Chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 1. "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that when he went into a ship and sat, the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us be able to come to your house and worship you. Please be with the rest of the services and the singing and everything that goes on today. And just amen." In this parable, Jesus is using a parable. A parable is a story told by Jesus with a godly principle. Like a preacher or Sunday school teacher, Jesus used ideas from a society, people, and jobs around him to preach about God and how we can grow as Christians. Jesus was the master teacher, and he had the unique ability to take scenes from everyday life and use them to teach amazing spiritual truths. Life is full of distractions. We all know that when we plan to get things done, there will always be distractions. Just like everyone in this room faces distractions, there are also distractions in my life. For example, when I'm trying to do my school, Luke might do or say something funny that distracts me. He might start talking about something that I'm interested in, and we might get to talking and realize that not even realize that we stopped doing school. We got distracted, and it's so easy to get distracted from doing school. As most of you know, I have a dog, and whether I'm doing pretty much anything, Hauser might do something that distracts me. Now, imagine a brother and a dog. Both of these examples remind me that there are distractions all around us, and we can make almost anything a distraction. From our text, there are three important truths I would like to look at about when it comes to distractions in our spiritual lives. First, we have God's Word. God wants to speak to us today, and He does that through His Word. And in His Word, we learn about Jesus, the gift of salvation, and how to have a relationship with God. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus used a parable about how we can receive the Word of God. He is teaching about the fact that there are those who are trying to sow or plant God's Word in our hearts. Sunday school teachers, pastors, and parents all want us to hide God's Word in our hearts. Yeah, but He also teaches us that we have an enemy. Just like there are those who want us to have God's Word in our hearts, there is one who does not. That enemy is the devil. Jesus calls him the wicked one, and he's right. The devil is extremely wicked. And in his wickedness, the devil doesn't want us to hear the Word of God. Every time we come to church, we are hearing from the Word of God, and that enrages the devil. In fact, verse 19 says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." Jesus teaches us that the best way to defend ourselves from the devil is with God's Word in our hearts. He used it in Matthew 4 times when the devil tried to tempt him. And the Psalms tell us in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And again in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." These tell us that we need God's Word. The third truth we learn is that we have a choice. So Brahms might be the best thing God created. I always have a hard time when I go there because there are so many flavors of ice cream. There's probably too many, but when it comes to God's Word, we have a choice too. We can choose whether or not we will listen and obey it. Jesus in this parable compares the soil to our hearts, and there are three types of hearts. First, a distracted heart. There are so many things in life that can distract us from God's Word. Some may not be sinful, but if they hurt our relationship with God or take God's place, then they become sinful. Our enemy wants to distract us, and verse 22 says that he uses the cares of this world. Those things may not be bad, but they can distract us from what is best, our time with God. Jesus also talks about having a discouraged heart. The devil doesn't want us growing in our relationship with God, and if the devil can't get us distracted, he will definitely try and discourage us. In verses 20 through 21, Jesus said that some people receive the word, but after a while get discouraged. Christians can get discouraged too, but we have a source, the key to hope, joy, and peace, and it is found in God's word. But Jesus also talks about having a devoted heart. I want this type of heart. The scriptures say in verse 8, "But others found a good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." How can we have a devoted heart? Jesus said that the ground was good, which means this person was not only ready to hear, but also to obey what they heard. They were determined to follow God, and they were determined to put God first. John 15, verses 1 through 5 tell us how to have a devoted heart by abiding in Him. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth forth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." If we are not careful, we can allow ourselves to develop the wrong kind of heart. We can become hard-hearted to the things of God, His house, and toward His word. When this happens, we will find ourselves discouraged and defeated, or we can grow distracted in our commitment to the Lord and His work. Or we might allow ourselves to become filled with the wrong kinds of things, thorns of sin and worldliness that will hinder us and keep us from being fruitful for the Lord. If you are saved, what kind of soil is your heart made of? Can you be honest with yourself for just a minute? And if you can, ask yourself these questions. What kind of soil is my heart? Have I become hardened to the things of God? Am I distracted, discouraged, or devoted in my commitment to God? Am I constantly burdened and defeated by sin and the cares of this world? Is my life bearing the kind of fruit I should be? Everyone in here knows where they stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am asking you to be honest with yourself and honest with God about what you need to do.